Blog Talk Radio.
It's Tuesday night, and you know what that means. Flat Track Weekly Radio is here, bringing you up-to-date news and insight you won't find anywhere else on the planet. Hosted by Grand National Racer Corey Texter and AMA Pro announcer Scotty Dubler, this show is guaranteed to pack some speed. So sit back and hold on tight. Flat Track Weekly Radio is on, and now here's C-Tex and Hollywood.
Corey Texter here, Tuesday night, Flat Track Weekly Radio. As always, my good buddy and partner slash co-host, Scotty Dubler, on the other end, wearing a Broncos tee, no surprise. Scotty, how are you, man?
Man, I wore this t-shirt just for you, and I am doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. It's Tuesday night. Stoked to be on the show tonight. It's good we're doing it back-to-back weeks. First time we've done that in about a month, probably. Just been so busy, so it's cool to actually be back on the show tonight. We got a great guest lined up. He set us up last week to get his nails done. I think that's what he was doing. That's what the rumor was going around. But getting a manicure, Chris Carr, fresh off coming to the show tonight, and we're gonna ask him a million questions to make up for everything he missed last week. We're gonna ask him about Vegas. We're gonna ask him about the 2015 season, the first ever American Super Prestigio. We'll touch upon, some more interesting stuff. Maybe we'll ask him about what his thoughts are regarding the suspension, or probation, rather, of the riders in the series. And we're going to dig into it. I'm not sure if he'll be too stoked on all the questions we're going to ask him, but, he has a lot of insight, so everyone's curious. But, I'm excited, man. How about you?
I'm excited, too. You know, I get to work with him each and every race, and it's been an honor to sit beside him. He's got so much knowledge, and he's won so many races that it's good to have him sitting beside me at the FansChoice.tv booth and, learn from one of the best in our sport, if not the best. You know, second winningest rider, second most championships. So he's been there and done that. He's got a big, big role in the Super Prestigio and in the track and everything out there in Las Vegas. So it'll be good to have him on the show and get some more insight of what's coming up. Also, I saw today, actually, online that the ring for the Super Prestige Show, the America's, for the winner gets that. Did you see that from our sponsor, Tommy Duma Fine Jewelers? It is awesome.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I'm a little jealous. You know, I'm not, haven't been invited to race that event yet. You know, hopefully if I can go down to Vegas or over to Vegas and pull off a win, I'll be able to race in that event and have a shot at winning that ring. It's pretty awesome. Tommy Duma, you know, it's just what you expect from those guys. They make awesome stuff over there, all kinds of jewelry. Championship ring, the Super Prestigio ring, my wife's wedding band, engagement ring, it's all from Tommy Duma, so I want to give him a shout-out for supporting the show and the sport as a whole. But, yeah, dude, it was kind of a busy weekend, I suppose. Willow Springs was this weekend, and that's, like, the biggest non-national of the year, and I would have liked to go. I wasn't trying to make two trips to the West Coast. I was thinking I was going to have to go to Calistoga as well. I don't want to have to go to, you know, Willow, drive home for 2 weeks, and drive back to California. You know, that would have took a lot. But unfortunately, Calistoga was canceled. So Willow, you know, attracted a lot of riders, and it was, I think, a $75,000 purse. It was a ton of money. Did you get a chance to see it, and what were your thoughts on it?
I didn't. I saw a couple of videos. Graham had her iPad out, and she would show me a few videos here and there. But, man, Jeffrey Carver was on the gas. Every time I saw him, he's out front, with the exception of the dash there on Sunday that Sammy Albert won. I heard the dash and catches were paying $10,000 to win each of those. And like you said, Corey, $75,000 purse, that is awesome. The track looks awesome. I've never been there. I'm definitely going to have to go there and check it out one time. Even if I don't go out there to work or announce or anything, I just got to go check it out. And it looks like a lot of fun. There's only one cushion track basically on the Grand National Circuit, and that's Lima. So that's a neat cushion track, and it doesn't look like it's pea gravel. It looks like it's just dirt. I don't know. I'm going to have to go check it out myself.
Yeah, it's like a I don't know. I've never been there, Scotty. I feel like I'm the only rider that hasn't been to Willow. It's it looks like dirt to me. I mean, it's still a cushion. It definitely tears up equipment. I've seen a couple of GoPro cameras that have gotten destroyed, you know, the outer casings because of the roof and the pea gravel and all that. Some stones took off. A big rock actually took off Jared Meese's visor this past weekend, and I guess right after the race he had to get some medical attention just to check everything out. He's good to go. But, yeah, a big rock took out his shield. That's pretty gnarly. He ended up still finishing the race and took home a third. Sammy Halbert, like you said, he won the Dash for Cash. I don't think it paid 10,000 both days. I think it just paid 10,000 the second day. I know it still paid a hefty purse as well on the first day. But, yeah, if you want to win any race out there, it's the second day Dash for Cash. It pays a lot of money. And Jeffrey Carver swept the whole event on a Woods Rotex. You know, it's I don't know the size of it. I think it's a 680, but it's a really, really fast, top-of-the-line Ron Woods' own personal Rotex. And there's really no surprise there. I mean, the track isn't huge. It's kind of a smaller half mile. And those Woods Rotexes, they work so good. And I think it's probably – it's close to 80 horsepower. You know, it's probably 100 pounds lighter than what, you know, the Harleys they were racing and the Kawasaki Twins. And it's only about – I don't know, 5 to 10 horsepower slower than most of the twins. So I'm not surprised. You know, Jeffrey Carver's a good rider, but if I was going to that event, that'd be my bike of choice. You know, if I had all the bikes laid out in front of me and I could ride any one, I would want to ride that Rotex too. You know, I think that would work well, and it proved to work good for Carver. He brought him a lion's share of the purse. You know, it's he probably made enough money to build himself a new motorcycle. So it was cool. I watched some of the footage too, and it's good to see Jeffrey grab two wins. You know, it's kind of an upset. Sammy Halbert and Jared Meese usually go out there and take all the money, and Carver kind of put an upset on him and grabbed the win both days.
What about the East Coast boys? You talked to any of the people that went out there from your neck of the woods? I know three of them were Ryan Wells and Van Decoy and Chad Coase all hopped in one van together. Did they do anything? I didn't see them on the podium, but I didn't see the overall finishes.
Well, Chad's a West Coast boy, but he's on the East Coast for some time now.
He stays out there in Pennsylvania, so I'm calling him an East Coast
guy. Right.
Now.
He's still got the Cali kid on his leather, so we're not going to fully claim him yet until he starts to fan away from that. But, no, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, I haven't actually talked to any of those guys. I talked to Breyer and Shane a little bit. Breyer got 2 fifth-place finishes. He rode Jared Vandercoy's bike. It was the first time he ever rode that motorcycle, and come home with 2 fifth-place finishes on it. Kid's an amazing rider. He can pretty much hop on anything and do well on, you know. So for him to grab 2 fifths was pretty solid. I know Ryan Wells, Chad, I think Jared too. I think they made both main events on the day, but I'm not sure how they did otherwise. I think Jared actually, Vandercoy got a fourth the second day, but I don't think he did so well the first day. The only thing I know is from the results I've seen and a little bit of the footage on Flat Track Live, but yeah, I'm bummed. I wish I could have went out. You know, that's a lot of money. I could have hopefully saved up enough money from that event to start the build of my next twin. But whatever, it's the way it goes. And we got a puppy, Golden Retriever puppy, me and Amber, Kona her name is, and we've been really busy taking care of her. So it was good that I kind of stayed home this week. It's like a full-time job watching a puppy, I'm learning. So it's good, though. I really like having her here.
Is she going to be a racetrack dog, or she's going to be a stay-at-home dog?
No, she'll be a racetrack dog for sure. It's just she's 8 weeks old right now, and she's still in the stage where she's, you know, she just learned she had a tail like yesterday, and she's biting her tail, and so she's kind of a silly little puppy still. But yeah, eventually she's going to be going to all the racetracks and all the races, and she'll be a racetrack dog. I'm anxious until she's a little bit older. I can take her on her first XR100 ride. I remember Shayna's dog Agio. You know, first time I took her on a ride, and she loves riding on the dirt bike with me. So I'm excited to get Kona on the bike, and yeah, it's exciting having a puppy. It's like a new experience for me. I have my cat Tig, and she's pretty easygoing. She just cruises around the house and does whatever. And the puppy actually requires attention. Today she was biting my laptop. I'm trying to work on my computer, and she bit a button off my laptop. I had to fix that. And biting my shoes. It's like, no, man, what are you doing? Stop. But, no, it's going well, man. It's really busy here trying to plan my program for next season. There's a lot involved, and, you know, we don't know what schedule we're racing next year. We don't know how many races there are. but October is the time a lot of these companies plan out their budgets for next year, and you got to jump on it. You know, there's tons of racers out there, and not only in flat track, but other disciplines that are looking for sponsorship, and you got to get to them first and present a good package and proposal and make them, you know, want to invest in you. You know, racing's a part-time job, so you got to treat it like one, and that's part of the deal.
I know you do a lot of people's proposals and packets and bios and stuff like that. Do you send them out for these other riders too, or you just do the proposal and let them take care of it, and then do you work with them after that, or you just do the packets and then you're just trying to get your own sponsors right now?
Yeah, I've been making resumes for riders for, I don't know, 2-3 years now. It started off kind of as a hobby. I just did it for a couple of my friends, and now it's kind of like a good part-time job in the off season here, but I don't actually send them out for the riders. I think that's kind of a conflict of interest for me. If I'm gonna talk to a sponsor about sponsoring another rider, I'm gonna try and get them to sponsor me. So then, you know, I design the resume, I write out a lot of the information, and then I give them advice and guide them on sending them out. Most of the people I work with are amateur racers. I do have a couple pro guys I work with help out. I help out Brad Baker. I've done one for Nicole Meese. I'm finishing up one for Sammy Halbert, Breyer, Shayna. You know, I do Bronson Bauman, Kyle Johnson. So, I guess I've done quite a few, but I try and mainly do them for the amateur kids coming up, get them started, point them in the right direction, and kind of once I'm done the resume, it's pretty much an open door policy all year. You know, if they have advice, you know, some companies send contracts, I'll help them, you know, check over the contract and tell them what I think of it. And I studied contracts a lot in school, you know, in college, so I have a good background there. And yeah, it's cool. I like helping out. It's, you know, I don't make a ton of money off it, obviously, but I like to help out the riders and guide them and hopefully grow the sport. You know, if all these companies are getting really nice resumes from flat track riders, it just says a lot about our sport. I've got some resumes when I owned my clothing line from some motocross guys and even some road race guys. It was like Microsoft Word, just terrible, you know, not written, not good. It was just a crappy resume. So it's cool to, I don't know, kind of have a little bit of take part in helping grow the sport and helping the riders out.
Well, maybe you're going to have to make me one so I can look professional and act professional like you guys.
There you go. I'll hook you up, man. I've been so busy working on my own program. I've kind of, like, haven't advertised as much as I usually do for doing resumes. You know, if somebody wants some help, I'll try and help them. But I've been so busy trying to it's like, man, I'm a racer again. I'm actually really close, I feel like, to being a legit professional racer for the first time in my career. I feel like I can be really competitive next season, you know, if I can get my full program together. The bike I have now is really good, but I'd like to build her a big sister, build a 750. You know, the 700 Vulcan's been really good to me, and we're slowly making the bike better. And I don't even think we scratched the surface on making that bike as good as it can be, but I already want to kind of put my resources together and build a 750, and I think we can be really competitive on the miles and the half miles with two bikes, you know. So that's kind of what I've been working on. It's been keeping me busy. I've been training a lot, and yeah, just the life of a racer, trying to find anything I can do to make some money. But that's, you know how it goes. But yeah, it's going well. I'm going to the AIM Expo next week, so I'm just kind of getting ready and planning for that event.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I've not been to one of those yet either. Are they a fun gig to go down and check out, or you just walk around and meet people, or what's your goal when you go down there?
I've been going to dealer shows since I was probably, 12 years old with my dad. They used to have a big dealer show in Indianapolis, and I've been going there forever. And, you know, when I first started going, it was about running around as a kid and seeing how much free stuff I could get and collecting as many stickers from all the companies. And obviously now I've kind of developed a little bit and grown up, and now it's kind of a good chance for me to go down and meet potential sponsors and kind of see my current sponsors, hang out with some other people in the industry, and take in the whole event. The event's really cool, actually. It's this year will be the third year, and I've been going down since its inception, since 2013. And Larry Little, he's a really cool dude. He has a lot to do with the whole event, and I'm excited, man. Yeah, it's a good event. It's fun. You know, everyone within the industry, mostly everybody is down there, and you get to see a bunch of new products. Last year, they actually unveiled my Vulcan S, the one I'm racing. They unveiled that bike at the AIM Expo. So a lot of new bikes get released at the event. And it'll be cool. They have a cocktail hour with food and drinks and beverages after each day. And who doesn't like to go to Florida? You know, it's getting cold up here, so anytime you can get down to Florida and enjoy some warm weather, it's a good thing. But, yeah, our first guest, Scotty, is actually on the line. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We come back, we will talk with Chris Carr.
Evans Wireless Engine Coolant. Over the last 20 years, Evans Wireless Coolants have been tested and proven by OEMs, racing teams, and automotive aficionados to increase reliability and reduce operating costs. The operating temperature of an engine is very close to the boiling point of water. Hot spots within the cooling system can lead to localized boiling, generating steam, which increases system pressure and prevents effective cooling. Evans Wireless Coolants have a boiling point of over 375 degrees. Far above the operating temperature of the engine. The high boiling point ensures that the coolant remains liquid at all times, enabling consistently effective cooling. Eliminating water eliminates the problem of boil over after boil over. Try some today in your race bike. For more information, log on to evanscooling.com or call 888-990-2665.
Speaking of Evans Coolant, Scotty, John Light and Evans, the crew from there, that I actually, my first AIM Expo, I was somewhat helping them kind of promote the product, and Chris Carr, actually, he goes down there every year with the Evans crew and helps promote their waterless coolant, and he's on the line right now. Chris, 7-time champ, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Thanks for coming on the show. Kind of stood us up last week. I know you were very busy, and some things come first, and you had to get your nails done and a pedicure and all that stuff, so you're dialed in, and we are happy to have you on the show this week.
That's pretty good. Where'd you come up with that? You must have really good sources.
Yeah, it was a rumor going around. I'm not sure, but that's what I've heard, but you know how rumors
go. You know how rumors are in flat track. Yeah, exactly. They they're not always as true as they some people like to believe.
Exactly. But we're glad to have you on. You got a lot of insight. You're very opinionated, which is good. You know, I really enjoy following you on Facebook. You have a lot of great knowledge from your years as a rider and now as an announcer, and you know, just being within the industry for so long. You're a very intelligent guy, so kind of want to get into it. First things first, let's talk about the Calistoga cancellation and what your thoughts were on that. You know, obviously there's a lot of devastation in the area, and you know, what are your thoughts on that whole event?
Well, it's unfortunate on multiple levels, and obviously first and foremost, I mean, there's a lot of people affected by the fires in Northern California, people losing everything they have, a few people losing their lives, kind of the same thing going on with some of our flat track friends down in South Carolina with the torrential rain that's been there this week. Over the last 3 or 4 days, we have a lot of the same things going on there, and it's never really good to talk about how it affects flat track when you see that in the big scheme of things, it really isn't all that important. It's unfortunate for us all to, you know, obviously lose a race on our series and when you look at it from a flat track perspective. But the reality is we haven't lost that much in comparison to so many other people.
That's an excellent way to put that, Chris. You know, it puts it back into perspective. You know, we're complaining and crying that we're losing the race, but, you know, people lost their homes, and like you said, unfortunately, some people did lose their lives. So reality, you know, a little reality check there puts everything back into perspective for everybody. So let's talk about the 2015 season so far with one round to go. What's been your biggest surprise so far this season?
I think the biggest thing is the ups and downs. You know, I mean, you know, obviously, if you look at, you know, Jared Mees has been pretty steady all year long. Yeah, he's had a couple bad finishes and he broke. And, you know, in a lot of ways. He's where he's at in the points because of his consistency. And then you look at Brian Smith, who has just dominated the miles, 1.5 mile. He's got 5 race wins, an X game win that doesn't count toward points. But, I mean, he's had a banner year. Then a couple of bad finishes, one in Daytona, a goose egg after, used his provisional to get 16th on night one and then doesn't make the main event on night two. And then, you know, an uncharacteristic 14th in Delaware. To me, those guys have had kind of opposite seasons in a lot of ways. One's been dominant, one hasn't, and they're 7 points apart going to Las Vegas. Then you look at Kubev, started out really strong early in the year. I think it was unfortunate that Hagerstown rained out, but was real strong in Delaware, and he's given himself a chance going into the last race to have a chance, an outside chance. And with the way that indoor racing can go, and with the format, the way it's been put out for that race, I mean, we might see the championship decided one way or the other in the heat races, depending on how many riders show up.
Well, you brought up the format of Vegas.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you brought up the format, and it's actually a different format from what we're used to in the series. It's I don't have the notes in front of me, but I know there's going to be 12 riders going to the A main. There's going to be riders in the B main. And then the top 6, I guess, from the B main will transfer. Can you kind of go over that a little bit for me, too? I don't have the notes in front of me, and also for the fans.
Well, I'm not overly familiar with it. I'm kind of like you. I didn't come, AMA Pro Racing has come up with that format. But from what I understand, I think it depends on how many riders are entering. If they have more than 36 entries in Las Vegas in the GNC 1 class, they're going to have one format. If they have 36 and under, they're going to have another format, which is more similar to what we typically run, except that it will have a B main and an A main. So that's one of those things where, you got 37 or more riders, I mean, you got to be fifth or better.
And what are your thoughts on the,
you're done.
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on that as far as the changing of the format? Do you think it was a good idea on AMA's part to do that? You know, the track is very small. It's a 1/10 mile. And, if they would have in the chance of a single file, a good chance, actually, because of how small it is and a lot of bar banging is going to be going on, and the chance of a single file restart, you won't be able to fit 18 riders staggered, in a fair way on the straightaway. So do you think it was a good idea, or do you think they should have kind of stuck with what they have?
I think it's a good idea in a lot of ways. If you put fewer riders on the racetrack, you have less opportunity for the red flags. You put more on and try to put more than the track will fit, you run into those, you're putting more people at odds with each other. So I guess in some respects, it's not good that, it's not the same as we've had week in and week out. But in the end, the way they have it split from an A main and a B main, you have a chance to move into the A main and continue to go up just like you would if you were put on a penalty line. You win the B main, you get to go to the A main and race on up through the field. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but if you had an 18 rider field based on, the dimensions of the track, which are real similar to what they had at the Cal Palace in San Francisco back in 2004, the only difference is we're on dirt instead of concrete. I think 14th and on would be at the air fence in turn 4. So, I mean, how do you deal with that? You run them around the track or just to see the light go green. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. And, you can make a case either way. But I believe having fewer riders on the track is probably a better solution to get us through the night in a timely fashion, in the fairest way possible for people to get a good finish, and hopefully with fewer red flags.
Well, Chris, we've all raced, you know, indoors, and you know, there's a lot of bar banging going on, and you know, there's going to be some rough riding. So how do you think AMA Pro is going to approach this differently than a half mile or a mile? Because at Delaware, you know, before the race, actually Shayna was put on a probation for what happened at Springfield, and I guess there was contact with between her and her boyfriend, Breyer. And then during the race in Delaware, there was contact, and a couple more riders got, you know, put on probation. So how is this going to be different at an indoor when there's going to be a lot of bar banging going on as compared to a mile or a half mile? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's always been the case where indoor short tracks have always been a little bit more physical. It's tighter, you're fighting for position. But what you don't see as much mm-hmm. on indoors as we tend to see on half miles and miles is you tend to go more body to body with people when you're making a move on them. And the three instances that you bring up were people trying to sneak by and clipping handlebars. I don't think we're going to see people trying to do that kind of thing, you know, on the high speed tracks can be, you know, very dangerous. It's different when you're on an indoor and you kind of go in there and you stick a wheel in there. It's different unless you just clean the guy out and you go down too. So, I mean, that's gonna be a tough call for AMA Pro Racing to police that in a fair way. But I think to compare the type of passes that you're more than likely going to see, which are more physical on an indoor short track compared to the ones that the riders were suspended for, I think are going to be a different type of pass.
Well, when I started racing, you know, Springfield short track and even to the Coin Indoor and, you know, my early years as a expert rider, there was a lot more bumping and banging with really no consequences. I've seen, you know, even going back to the Wide Open film, you know, you see the crash there between Henry Wiles and Jake Johnson. Henry went in and just cleaned out Jake. It was, I don't know, a Springfield TT or short track. And as far as I know, I don't think there was any consequences there. And it seems like in recent years or even actually just this year, they're really buckling down and biting this, you know, this, I guess, the problem with rough riding, you know, head on. They're trying to fix it. And I don't, you know, I think it's relevant to what track you're racing on, but it's going to be amazing to me just to see how the night unfolds, knowing the riders are going to be out there, there's a championship up for grabs, and really they got to be consistent, I would think, with what they already have done, you know? So it's going to be...
Yeah.
It's going to be,
well,
yeah,
would,
it's going to be interesting
be a,
for sure.
That would be a question for Steve Moorhead and Ronnie Jones, you know, the people that are running the race, to be honest with you. I can have an opinion, and I think I've given it, but I'm not in the position to make the call, and it's their calls to make. You know, indoor racing is going to be tight. We know that. We've seen that forever. But getting back to your point about how, you know, looking for consistency, and the only way you get that is if you have the same interpretation of a rule that really hasn't changed, as far as I'm aware, in my entire career. The rules about passing in the rule book, I don't think have really been touched in 30 years. But what you get over time is a different interpretation of what somebody thinks is clean might be dirty to somebody else. And it's the interpretation that you're seeing now. You know, Ronnie Jones has been involved for just under a year now, and I believe he has something to do with this. I believe Moorhead has something to do with this as well. And the interpretation may be different now than what we were seeing prior. And that's the only thing I can think of that's different about the scenarios that are now being addressed that weren't in the past.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the main thing is just consistency for the riders, so they know what they're getting themselves into going into it. They're not surprised by any, you know, penalties, probation, suspension, et cetera. I mean, the indoor races back home here, I know they're concrete and it's quite a bit smaller, but, you know, Timonium, I've been racing there since I've been a kid. there's really, you go into it kind of knowing there's really, I mean, there's obviously rules, but over the years, there's really no rules at an indoor. I mean, I've seen people literally get T-boned in the middle of the corner and they just keep racing. So obviously, it's going to be a little bit different Vegas. But
that's the difference. That's the difference between a district event and a pro event, too. You know, I mean, I know that I've been to those events and I've witnessed them. Hell, I've been there and watched you ride around there. So I get where you're coming from, but that's been consistent all along because you've pretty much got the same people running it year after year after year. So it's the same interpretation year after year after year. AMA Pro Racing hasn't had the same people in charge. The one thing that's been the same has been the rule, but not the people interpreting it. So it's going to change over time.
That's an interesting way to look at things. I agree with what you're saying, Chris. Let's talk about Las Vegas a little bit. You're kind of in charge of the laying out the racetrack and all that stuff, and I heard you're going out there as early as Tuesday. The Super Prestigio guys get to practice on Thursday night. The AMA Pro guys are racing on Friday night because they cannot race the racetrack before the night before Grand Nationals, so that's kind of their practice for the Super Prestigio. So have you been out there yet and checked out the place? And My main question, I guess, is the dirt. You know, the last time a Grand National was in Las Vegas, we actually had to cancel the event because the dirt wouldn't hold together. It was kind of like cake mix, and it kept peeling up and peeling away. So a couple of questions, you know, what's the racetrack going to be like, and what's the dirt going to be like? Are they bringing dirt in from somewhere else?
Well, it's my understanding the dirt that's on site at the Orleans Arena is the dirt that they use for multiple purposes, one of which is the Endurocross. I've been talking with Dennis Pearson, who works for Team FMI, and he's the builder. He'll be building the track. He also brought us the Sacramento Mile in Charlotte. He worked on those tracks this year as well as multiple others. It's my understanding they're going to use the same dirt for the Endurocross as they build the track. I think the goal is that we want to make it hard enough to where we don't blow through and go down to the concrete, but yet we want to make it soft enough to not have it form a single file blue groove. And if there are any issues along the way, the backup plan, from what I understand, is that if we need to bring in some decomposed granite, that they kind of like what they use on speedway tracks as a top coat, that's an option as well. But I think the plan is to make a track that, despite the its small stature and size like we had in San Francisco, is to lay out a track and prepare one in such a way that passing is possible without having to take a guy out in order to make that pass. And hopefully the track that we lay out and the dirt that we prepare will make for a nice racy show. That's the goal. And I believe that's something that's very possible.
Well, there was an announcement today. I saw that Josh Hayes has been confirmed to race the Vegas Super Prestigio of the Americas. And I was just curious, you know, they announced a couple of the American riders, Jake Johnson, Brian Smith, me, Baker, and Coolbeth, they announced five riders. I know they also, from Peoria TT, the winners got an invite, Henry Wiles and Jesse Janisch. And I was just wondering who else got invited. Is that information you can share with us?
Yeah, I can share.
Okay.
Yeah, on the AMA Pro side, the riders that won the GNC1 races in Daytona, which were Steve Bonzi and Kenny Coolbeth. Bonzi received an invitation. Coolbeth already had his, being a former Grand National champion in the last 10 years. The GNC2 class, Justin Jones and Andrew Luker, have both, based on their wins at Daytona in the GNC2 class. You have mentioned Jesse Janisch and Henry Wiles is winning at Peoria. We also will invite the winner from Friday night's AMA Pro finale in GNC1 and GNC2. And if they're not already invited, if the winner happens to have already have an invitation, then in each respective class, we will go down to the first rider in points on the overall standings that does not have an invitation, and that person will then be invited. If they decline, we'll go on down the list until we fill the field. Also on that side, we're working on getting some signatures on certain riders. I know we have one coming out of England. We're working on one out of Canada, as well as I believe we have one coming out of Spain. So we're going to have some flat track representation from other countries, and we're going to allow those guys an opportunity to go head-to-head with the AMA guys in the flat track bracket. Then the all-star bracket, as you mentioned, we have Josh Hayes, who was announced today, and we have more announcements in the very near future on that.
So Chris, you were at the Super Prestigio over in Spain in January, and a lot of us got to watch it online. Is this race going to be online as well for the world, or do you know that yet? I have not heard of that.
It's my understanding that it will go on FansChoice.tv, and whether and FansChoice, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I'm aware, has no geographical limitations. So I think AMA Pro Flat Track Racing this year has been watched in over 100 different countries. So there's global interest in the event, and the Super Prestigio will be presented on FansChoice.tv, unless something changes, but as far as I know, it is.
Well, how do you see the whole championship shaking out? You know, you mentioned, I think, earlier in the show that, I don't know if you mentioned it, but I think the points gap right now is 7 points between Jared Meese and Brian Smith. And
yeah,
it's kind of no secret within the paddock that Jared Meese is probably a better short tracker when it comes to these DTX bikes. At least he has better results in the past few years regarding those motorcycles and on those tracks. And, you know, Smith kind of a bummer for him. I'm sure he would have liked to race Calistoga as well, because he seems to have his half-mile program really put together this year. But what are Smith's chances, realistic chances, going into the race? You know, obviously you mentioned it's an indoor, anything can happen, but Jared's really tough on those indoor tracks. You know, when it comes to, you know, he grew up in Pennsylvania racing the indoors. He grew up doing those indoor ice races, which he's very good at. What are your thoughts heading into this race as far as that goes?
Well, if you just put it down on paper, Jared, you know, based on his history at non-nationals, he's a good indoor rider, whether it's dirt or concrete or ice. He's comfortable in that environment, and he's performed well. The difference between all those performances at all those non-nationals is he wasn't racing for a Grand National Championship going to those events. This time he is. He's sitting on a 7-point lead. Yes, Brian Smith on paper, even though he's won a couple short track nationals back in the Framer days and doesn't look good, has nothing to lose. So I look at this a couple ways. We can either say it's a foregone conclusion, or we can be hopeful that somewhere along the way, maybe it gets decided on a tiebreaker or by a point or two. And the only reason I say that is because I've noticed that in the case of Jared Meese, what I've seen, I saw it in Delaware, and I saw it a little bit on some of the clips in Willow Springs. The guy's riding tight right now. He's sitting on a 7-point lead, and he's got to think about it for a while. He's got everything to lose, and that changes how people think about going into races. It's different when you're coming from behind and have nothing but a championship to gain. So I say in a lot of ways, yes, Jared is the guy to beat. But Brian Smith has a great shot just based on the fact that Jared's got everything to lose right now. And if the third person in this whole thing, Kenny Kulbeth, has won short tracks. He's won on an indoor in DuCoin. He's a really good short track rider. He's hungry. He's got the most to gain. And if these guys are in different heat races, and say Jared Meese and Brian Smith have a mishap in their heat race on a 6-heat race format, and they're done, he's got a chance to win the championship. So I look forward. That the heat races in Las Vegas are going to be the most important heat races of the year. I think there's a lot to be gained and lost before you even get to the finals.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, watching the clips from Willow Springs this past weekend, Jared, he usually, you know, either gets first or second, sometimes he even dominates that event. Anytime there's big money, you know Jared's going to show up with all of his guns loaded. But, yeah, I definitely noticed he kind of was taking it. It appeared he was kind of taking it easy, you know, has the championship in sight, doesn't want to do anything stupid. Usually at this time of the year, the season is usually wrapped up. You know, there's you know, when they head to Willow Springs, all the races are usually over, and he can go out, you know, kind of go there with no pressure and just race for the money. But I definitely think he has it in the back of his mind. And there's a long wait right now until the last race of the year. I can't imagine the stress, you know, Smith and Jared are going through just waiting. You know, it's the waiting game's terrible. And, you know, like you mentioned, Coolbeth, he has all, you know, everything to gain, absolutely nothing to lose. You know, Smith has nothing to lose either. He's not going to, it's very unlikely he'll get passed by too many people in points, if any, but he definitely can make up time. And Jared's kind of sitting up top, just doing a lot of thinking. So I agree with you.
That's why we have races, you know. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about Calistoga, and I know this event has, the Las Vegas event has been kind of met with mixed reviews as far as even being on the schedule. And I wanted to address that a little bit in the sense that, you know, indoor racing, you talk about it yourself, how you've done a lot of it, whether it's on dirt or on concrete. You know, I've done it a lot through my career. Every flat tracker, for the most part, has experienced indoor racing. And I think having something along these lines is good as an overall test for your Grand National champion. Maybe not having it as the last race of the year, I can understand people thinking that, but I think back to right now that if the Las Vegas race wasn't on the schedule and we had the issues that we had in Calistoga, we would have ended our season on a cancellation. And as a fan of flat track, I'm glad that we have at least a race to go to settle it rather than not. And so I always try to look at the half full glass here versus the half empty. And I think if we at Team SMI do our jobs and those guys go out and race the way they know how to race, that the flat track glass will fill up by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, I totally agree. I agree with you, Chris. You know, it'd be terrible to end the season, you know, with a cancellation. But I've got a question. Corey's typing me a question too. But I got a question for you that maybe hit blindside you a little bit. You're wrapping up your first full season as a color commentator for AMA Pro. What did you think of it? And was it everything you expected, or would you, you know, what are your thoughts as your season wraps up as a color commentator, I should say?
Well, you know, I've enjoyed it immensely. I've enjoyed working with you, Scotty, by the way. I think things, we might have been a little rocky in the beginning, and you know how it is. It gets kind of crazy behind the scenes, so some days are a little more frustrating than others. But it's allowed me to get a different picture that I couldn't get sitting on the fence in the pits or standing in an infield or whatever. And I've been able to look at, you know, we got 9 different camera angles of the racetrack to look at, and it's pretty cool to be able to pick up on that stuff and to share, you know, some of my experience and share what I'm seeing. I've enjoyed it immensely, and I hope that opportunity is there for me again in the future. And I look forward to hopefully doing that again. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, Chris, I enjoyed you being there as well because, you know, like I said before you came on, I don't know if you heard the opening, but, you know, with your 7 championships and all your victories and you've been to so many racetracks that you bring a knowledge to the fans that we wouldn't normally get. You know, I raced a little bit. I'm never going to say I was a good racer or anything like that. I did race. I tried, you know, but having you there, getting the knowledge from a 7-time champ is awesome. And I appreciate you being on board and I had a good time too. Corey, what did you think of Fans Choice.tv?
You guys are all right, you know. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. You guys do awesome. It's like I said earlier in the year, it definitely sucked watching the races from home on the couch, but it was good, you know. I enjoy Fans Choice. It's just it's better being there, of course, in person for me anyway as a rider.
Well, Chris, we appreciate you coming on the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. We'll see you in a few weeks out there in Las Vegas, and, man, we appreciate it. We usually have our riders thank their sponsors and say thanks to anybody. Do you want to say hi to anybody, or you want to thank anybody before we let you go?
Well, I would like to thank AMA Pro Racing for allowing me the opportunity to sit in a production truck and call the races with you. And I'd also like to thank all the folks at Team SMI. They promoted Sacramento and Charlotte, and they're doing Las Vegas, for the opportunity to consult with them as well. It's allowed me to keep my hands involved in flat track, something that, you know, I've thoroughly enjoyed my entire life. And I'm glad to be a part of the flat track family still, and hopefully for many more years.
Well, thanks again, buddy. I appreciate you coming on the show. I'm glad we got you on this week, and I don't know if I'll see you before Vegas. I probably will, but if not, I'll see you next week.
I did hear that part. I'll be at the Evans booth again next week in Orlando, so we'll see you there.
Oh, okay, cool. Right on. Well, I will see you then, and thanks again, Chris. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
That was the 7-time champ and our color commentator on FansChoice.tv, Chris Carr. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have some closing thoughts. We'll be right back.
Light Shoe, the number one maker of steel shoes for dirt track racers. Light Shoes come with a one-year guarantee on light shoe material and craftsmanship. Light Shoes are worn by the pros like Mark Marquez, Sammy Halbert, Wyatt McGuire, Jeffrey Carver, and former Grand National Champion Brad the Bullet Baker. Light Shoes can be purchased separately or as a boot and steel shoe combination. Light Shoe also carries hot shoe straps, t-shirts, and hoodies. For more information, check out lightshoe.com. Light Shoe, for the racer's heart and soul.
We are back. Scotty Dube's got his Light Shoe in his hand right now. Custom 43. I wasn't sure if that was a former Joe Kopp or Sammy Halbert steel shoe, but oh wow, his name is on it. So it is definitely Scotty Dubler's steel shoe. It's definitely new though, which means he is fully retired and does not race anymore.
Well, it's about six sizes too small. It's actually a trophy from the X Games 2015 because Light Shoe sent this to me. We took it down there to the X Games, and that was their way of saying thanks for everything I did for them. And I just want to say thanks for everything that they do for us here at the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show, and for me too. That was pretty cool. It's a nice little trophy to set on my shelf. I don't get any more trophies anymore. You don't get trophies for being an announcer, but so that's the only trophy I got this season, and it was from the X Games. So thanks a lot to Light Shoe, lightshoe.com.
Yeah, that was a great show. Anytime Chris comes on, you're going to have a lot of great information. We could have talked for another half hour, I think. It was good to have him on. A lot of insight, man. He's full of knowledge, full of opinions, too,
well,
which is always good.
I don't think you got 1 million questions out of him, but did our good share of stuff that, you know, people were wanting to know, people were asking us about. People have been, you know, asking the questions to me about what's going to happen in Vegas. And he touched on a lot of the subjects, and, you know, we're going to learn more as the days to come as who all gets invited. And like he said, I think there's going to be two classes there at the Super Prestigio on Saturday night. But the main reason I'm going is for the Grand National on Friday night.
Yeah, hopefully I can do well, maybe pull off my first win and make it into the Super Prestigio. It's an indoor, anything can happen, and, you know, I don't see why there's no reason we shouldn't have a first-time winner at that event, and why not be me?
I've got a plan. Let's call Ronnie Jones or Steve Moorhead right now and say, you want to ride your mini bike. And you can put your little 100 in the main event, and you can win that thing on a 100. I think that would be cool. You said you're a mini bike champion, so maybe try that.
Yeah, well, if it was a mini bike national, I wouldn't even be concerned. I'd be going there to win for sure. You know, definitely, if I didn't win on a mini bike, I'd be pretty pissed at myself. I love riding mini bikes. I've been doing it for a long time. They fit me, you know. I'm I'm on the shorter side, so riding a mini bike for me is kind of like on a Breyer on a 450. You can throw that thing around, but yeah, no, it's a crapshoot. Anything can happen, and it's gonna be exciting. It is gonna, you know, it's not gonna suck, but it's gonna be very unpredictable. You know, with the small track, the dirt. Chris talked about the dirt a little bit. I honestly haven't heard anything good about the Vegas dirt. You know, even from the Endurocross guys, Cody Webb. I've heard from him and some other guys that the dirt there is very tricky, and whether or not the dirt sucks, I guess, is terminology, but it's very tricky dirt. It's very dry, and it's going to be very technical, and qualifying is going to be very important. It's always important, but it's going to be more so important there, and getting a good start is going to be the most important thing, I think, and just hitting your marks, being smooth, and not messing up. You know, with the rule changes, not really the rule change, but the rule enforcement as of late with, you know, rough riding and everything, it's going to create for a whole different indoor race from, you know, what we might have had at this event 4 or 5 years ago to what we have now. You know, these riders, they're going to be a little bit hesitant, you know, especially the ones that are already on probation. They're not going to go into the corner and take somebody out again, because that's probably going to lead to suspension, tongue twister. And, I don't know, Scotty, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, Chris talked about it a little bit, but I just got to be consistent.
It's going to be tricky, you know, and I don't know if the fanschoice.tv had, you know, anything to do with them being a little bit more stricter on the rules where they can go back and watch replays and stuff like that. I don't know, because the cameras cannot catch everything. There's absolutely no way. So, you know, I don't know if that had a factor, but like Chris said, you know, the one thing that has changed is there's been different people. Like he said, this is Ronnie Jones, end of his first year. Before that, we had Dan Johnson. Before that, we had so-and-so, and so-and-so before that. So those people do change, and interpretation of a clean pass and a dirty pass, that changes too. It kind of depends on where you grew up. You know, if you grew up in Oklahoma, you know, rubbin's racing. If you grow up somewhere else, it might not be. You know, a definition of rubbin's racing maybe a little bit different to somebody else. So interpretation is a big part of it. You know, the ones that have to be careful right now is, you know, Jake Shoemaker, he got on probation, and who else got on probation over there besides your sister up
Mike
there in Delaware?
Mike Poe.
There you go, Mike Poe.
Gina.
Right. Yep.
I think
Sammy
might still be on probation. I'm not sure, but it's, you know, you mentioned the fan choice kind of being guilty of not making it easy for these riders to pass like that. But Shayna's incident wasn't even, you know, you couldn't even see it on fan choice. There was no coverage of the accident at all.
Right.
I guess.
Right.
There was rumor going around that Moorhead saw it, you know, or whatever. But, yeah, it's, you know, that's kind of a tough subject for me to get on topic, you know, regarding Shayna's incident to the two other incidents at Delaware. I will say that I, even a non-biased point of view, those instances were very, very different from, you know, Shoemaker and Mike Poe and then, you know, from Shayna's. I'm not saying any of them deserve to be on probation, but it was just a way different deal. And it's a bummer. I'm not happy. I will say that about Shayna's, her penalty. I haven't been real vocal about it because it's not my place to be vocal, but it definitely, I'm not stoked on it. It's I don't think it was the right decision, but I respect, you know, it's the AMA series, and, you know, if they feel it was the right decision, then it is what it is. It's not my place to tell them what to do with their series. I just, I just didn't agree with it, but move on. And, you know, thankfully it wasn't anything more than probation, and she can still race and promote her sponsors and all that stuff. Same with Shoemaker and Mike Poe. You know, you don't want to see them guys not be able to line up and race because, heck, the rider count's not very awesome right now. So if we spend all these riders, it'd be a shame not to have them out there and competing. So, lots to think about heading into Vegas. We got some time to think about it. You know, we're going to be talking about it for a couple of weeks here now leading up to the event, but it was good to have Chris Carr on. He has a lot to do with the event. He's, you know, obviously the announcer with you and helping lay out the track, and he's also highly involved in getting the Super Prestigio, that all laid out, and getting in touch with riders and, you know, the whole crew from SMI. They're all working together to make it a great event. So we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping it turns out well for them. But that's all I got, Scotty. I don't have much more. Again, I want to thank our sponsors. They do a lot for us and the sport in general. It keeps us going. The fans are tuning in. If you If you like what you hear, shoot us a message or a comment on Facebook. We're on Instagram at Flat Track Weekly Radio. Sky's been posting a lot of really cool photos in the past week. I've actually been proud of him, posting some good old school photos. Kenny Roberts, Bubba Schobert, Ricky Graham, a lot of good stuff. I saw a George Roeder photo in there, slinging it sideways on the cush. So a lot of good stuff on there. But that's all I got, Scotty. Anything else you want to finish off with?
I just want to say, if anybody has any suggestions for any guests that they'd like for us to get on the show, just let us know that also. But we appreciate everybody that follows and everybody that listens to our show. And don't forget to check us out on iTunes. And you can get a podcast of our show and listen to it when you're riding down the road. So appreciate all of our listeners. And that's all I got. We'll see you guys next week.